Amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, I invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be in verse 21 through 23. So we've come to the end of Philippians. It's hard to believe, isn't it? 6 months together in this book, 104 verses, and now here we are. I'll be honest, I feel a little sad. This letter has been a great companion for us. It's been a friend. God has spoken through it to us week by week, Sunday by Sunday. And I've loved every minute of opening it up with you and walking through it. And I hope, I really do, that you've been blessed by it too. So we've come to the end of Philippians. Next week we'll start in the Gospel of Mark. So that's where we'll be headed. But today we get to finish out this great letter. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. If you would please stand for the reading of God's word. This is the word of the Lord. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and it is the holy inspired word of God. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this amazing letter of the Philippians, Lord. A letter just full with joy, of hope, and the promise of Jesus Christ. So Father, as we finish, may we finish it well. May you bless it. To our hearts, bless it to our souls, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, every time I fly commercially, there's that same little routine, and you probably know it. Every time we fly, we go through that exact same routine. All of a sudden, the flight attendants show up. They're standing there in the aisle, and they're showing us how to put on our seatbelts. They're showing us where the exits are, right? Doing this number. They tell us how to use the oxygen mask. They even tell us what to do in the event of a water landing. All these things they still to do. But what do we do when they're doing it? Well, some of us, we pretend to listen, kind of just staring straight ahead. And for most of us, let's be honest, we don't even look up, do we? We just pretend to listen. We're not listening. We don't care because we think we've heard it all before. We've heard it over and over and over again. It just feels somewhat unimportant. Well, that's the temptation here too. As we come to the end of really any of Paul's letters, we get to the goodbyes, we get to the greetings, and we think, okay, not much here. I can just skip on and move on to whatever I'm reading next in the scriptures. But listen, these last few verses, they aren't just filler. This isn't Paul just all of a sudden running out of things to say. This is scripture. It is God-breathed. It is preserved in our very Bibles that we have. In fact, these last verses, these last words, they carry a very profound, holy inspired message to us. These verses, you see, I believe Paul is showing us what the DNA of the church is. Paul's showing us what's at the very core of who each and every one of us are in Christ. And it's this. Three words. Saints, brothers, and grace. Saints, brothers, and grace. And that's our three points this morning. Saints, brothers, and grace. That's the DNA of the church, and Lord willing, that is and will be the very DNA of Hickory Presbyterian Church. So we begin with the first point. Who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. We are saints. So if you look at verse 21, Paul says this, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Now maybe you hear that word saint and you think, nah, that's not me. Definitely not with my track record, not with my my checkered past, hardly anything but a saint. But listen, Paul doesn't say in yourself. He doesn't say in your record. He doesn't say in your past. Not in your feelings, not in your performance, not in your church attendance, not in your resume, not in your best days, not in the days of going to church every week with your family as a child, not in your promises to do better, not in your ability to hold on, not in your family name, not in your reputation. None of those things matter. None of it is in those things. It's only this. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ. It's in Christ alone. You see, when you place your faith in Christ, something miraculous happens. You are joined to Christ in such a way that everything that belongs to Him is credited to you. It's given to you. You see, His righteousness covers you. His death is counted as your death. His resurrection life becomes your new life. His Spirit dwells within you. This is what theologians call union with Christ. It's this union, not our works, not in anything of ourselves, that makes us saints. That's the miracle. That's the identity. Not someday if you're good enough. It's now. It's today. In Him, in Christ, you, beloved, are already a saint. And yes, without a doubt, you will still stumble. Yes, you will, without a doubt, you will still wrestle with sin. You'll have days where you don't feel very holy at all. But your sainthood doesn't rest on your feelings. It doesn't rest on your failures. It rests on Christ and what He has done. So when you doubt yourself, you get to those days where you're just struggling. Remember this, Christ never doubts His work in you. It's sure. He calls you His saint. He calls you holy, beloved. He has set you apart. So if that's who we are as saints in Christ, then it makes sense. Paul doesn't just stop there, because saints don't just walk alone. Please don't ever walk alone. Saints belong somewhere, and that place is here. It's as a family of God. And that brings us to our second point, our relationships in Christ as brothers. As brothers. Look at verse 22. Paul says, "The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." Do you feel the warmth in that statement? Brothers. That means brothers, it means sisters, it means family. That's who we are. You see, the church is not an event that we just attend. It's not that at all. And hear me, it's never a service that you watch on YouTube or you watch on Facebook Live. The church, beloved, the church is the body of Christ. It's a family that you belong to. See, through the gospel, this amazing thing happens. Strangers, they become brothers, they become siblings. Outsiders, they become insiders. Those who were once enemies, or they're family now. And Paul doesn't just stop with that small little circle that surrounds him. No, he expands the circle. He says, all the saints, all of them greet you. You see, you're part of something bigger than our own congregation. Something much bigger. Bigger than Philippi. Bigger than Rome. The church stretches as far as you can imagine. I mean, it stretches to the four corners of the world. And then Paul adds this stunning detail. He says, especially those of Caesar's household. What? Caesar's household? Saints in Caesar's palace? Now listen, try to feel the shock of that phrase when the Philippians heard that read to them for the first time. Think of the shock, the what? Caesar's household? Caesar was the emperor who claimed to be Lord. He demanded allegiance or death. Caesar is the one who had Paul chained in prison. And yet here Paul says, there are saints in this household. I mean, feel the shock of that statement by Paul as the Philippians heard the statement. The gospel had penetrated the very halls of power of Rome. I mean, think about it. The gospel slipped past guards. It slipped past palace walls. It slipped past hostility. And it had taken root right under Caesar's nose. Caesar's household, it would have included his immediate family, but it would also consist of his maids, of servants, of soldiers, of government workers. I mean, just stop and think about these are people who hated the gospel. Absolutely hated it. Now they were joined in Christian fellowship. Beloved, it's only a God's grace that can change the minds of an individual. And it's these people who once hated Christians, and they are now Christians themselves. They're what? They're saints. And the amazing thing is, by the grace of God, they greet you too, as saints, as brothers. So what does that mean for us today? It means simply that the gospel doesn't just stop at the boundaries that we assume. It doesn't stop there. It means no heart is too hard. No family member is beyond the grasp of God. No workplace is too closed off. If saints could be found in Caesar's house, they can be found in your household too. It also means the church is wide. It's not narrow. It's not cliquish. It's not just for people like me and you. And Paul says all the saints. That's Jew and Gentile. It's rich and poor, young and old, male and female. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is family. Now let's be honest, family isn't always neat and tidy, is it? I don't know if you've ever been to a family reunion, but they can be really messy, can't they, sometimes? You got loud cousins, you got the know-it-all uncle, somebody's always telling you what to do and how to do it. You got little kids running all over the place like crazy. But guess what? They all belong. They all belong, each and every one of them, all of them. Not because they're the same, but because they're blood related. They have the same bloodline. And beloved, that's the church. That's our church. We don't all look alike, we don't all act alike, but we share something in common. It's the blood of Christ. That's what binds us. That's what binds us as saints. That's what binds us as brothers. That's what binds us together as a family. So when we call one another brother or sister here at Hickory Presbyterian, we're not just being polite. We're reminding each other that we truly do belong to each other. And here's the awesome news in that. You don't have to walk alone. You never have to walk alone. Whatever burden you're carrying, whatever trial that you're facing, you have a real family that loves you, who prays for you, who wants to walk alongside you. So let me ask, do you see each other as family? Not just fellow attenders, not just as acquaintances, but as brothers and sisters, as family. Because Paul says that's your DNA. Saints, brothers, sisters, all belonging, all embraced together. Well, if family is who we are together, then what is it that holds us together? Because let's be honest, as I said already, family can be extremely messy. Church in itself, there's no perfect church here this side of heaven, can be messy too. So what keeps us from falling apart? Well, Paul says one word, grace. It's grace, and that's our bond in Christ. This is our third point, our bond in Christ. It's grace that holds us together. So look with me at Paul's final words in verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now this last line is not a throwaway, kind of just goodbye, see you later, you know, it's great catching up Philippians. It's not that at all. It's not Paul all of a sudden running out of paper. This is a beautiful benediction that Paul is given. It's a blessing. Beloved, it's a promise. And notice the letter of Philippians, it too began with grace. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. It says this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it begins. It begins with grace. And now the letter, it's ending with grace. You see, grace is the very bookends of this letter to the Philippians. Beloved, so too, grace is the very bookends of our Christian life. Grace is the very first word, and it's the last word. You see, it's grace that saves you. It's grace that sustains you each and every day of your life, and it's grace that gets you to the finish line and finishes the race. It's always grace. Pastor and author Paul Tripp says this about grace. He says, you need it. You can't live without it. But you can't purchase it and you can't earn it. It only comes by the means of a gift. And when you receive it, you immediately realize how much you needed it all along. And you wonder how you could have lived that long without it. We need grace. We can't live without grace. And when you become a Christian, that's who you become. You are filled with grace. And grace isn't just an idea. It isn't just some theological concept out there. Grace is a person. Grace is the Lord Jesus Christ himself with you. It's his presence. It's his strength, as we read earlier in chapter 4. Apostle Paul says, with your spirit that grace is. It's not just grace for your circumstances. It's grace with your spirit. And do you hear that? Do you hear what Paul's saying? It's grace for your soul. It's grace for those deep places. It's grace for the very fears that you don't tell anybody about. It's grace for the weaknesses that you keep hidden deep down inside. It's grace for the weight that you can't carry anymore. It is grace. It has nothing to do with your grit. It has nothing to do with your cleverness or your willpower or your ability to try to just grin and bear and just try to hold it all together somehow. It's grace. Grace alone. Now, I've heard this illustration, and I've used it many times myself, and it gets to the point of this grace, I think, so beautifully. Think during a storm at sea, you've got this massive ship that's staying in place because it's not because of the wood on its deck or the paint on its hull or any part of the ship, but the anchor. It stays in place because the anchor is buried deep beneath the sea. Deep beneath the waves. And here's the thing, the crew, they can't see the anchor. All they see is the chain running taut up to the boat. But they know that anchor that they cannot see is holding them steady. That's the grace in the Christian life. We may not always see it. We may not always feel it. But grace is there. Grace is there. It's underneath our fears. It's underneath our weaknesses. You see, there's this unbreakable chain, the grace of Christ, and it's fastening us to Him. This grace, beloved, it's holding us steady. It's grace. It's what keeps us from falling away. It keeps us from drifting away. Paul says this grace is with you. It's with your spirit. It's beloved, rest here. Rest in that grace. Because grace is enough. It's enough for today. It's enough for tomorrow. It's enough for every step of your life until you see Him face to face. That's why Paul ends with grace. Paul ends with this grace because when your life ends, when your race is done, the last word over you won't be failure. It won't be regret. It won't be that sin that you've had all your life. The last word will be the same as Paul's. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that's enough. So here we are, the end of Philippians. This is how Paul ends this magnificent letter with three simple but profound reminders of who we are. We are saints. We are set apart, holy in Christ, not because of what we've done, but because of He that holds us. We are also brothers and sisters, a family drawn across many, many differences, held together by the blood of Christ. And we're held fast by grace. Grace at the start, grace all the way through our lives, and grace until the end. See, that's the DNA of each and every one of us. That's the DNA of the church. That's what defines us. This is it. Saints, brothers, grace. It's not a building, it's not programs, it's not some big personality up here, because I'm definitely not it. That's not what defines us as a church. But Christ in us, making us saints, binding us together as a family, and sustaining us day by grace. And here's the invitation. This isn't just to Paul's church in Philippi. This is who we are meant to be right here in Hickory. When we gather each week, we're not just doing a religious routine. We're here to remind each other about the gospel. We're here to remind each other that because of the gospel, we are saints, and that we're bound together as a family, and that we're sustained by that grace. Maybe you've, for the time, have felt outside of that. Maybe you've wondered if there's a place where you belong. Well, Paul's last words in Philippians, they are good news for you. There's room in this family. There's enough grace for you. There's a Savior who makes and turns sinners into saints. So if you've yet to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day. The day that you would receive Him and that you would indeed become a saint. So as we close this letter, hear again the final words of Paul. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May that be true of us today, for this week, and until the day we see Him again face to face. Let us pray.